I'm going to spend a night in jail because of that woman. But they don't let you stay in jail just because you're afraid of your girlfriend. Man, I still got to see her every year at the annual restraining order renewal.
Hey, Christopher, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are things?
Oh, good. We were just playing a little bit of you in the background. Did I wake you?
No, I'm actually up, but I'm a little voice prop. I'm excited. I'm excited about doing the new show, Love is Evil, which is going to air on Valentine's Day.
All right. Now, Christopher, may I ask how your personal life and all is treating you these days? I mean, have you got a wonderful gal in the picket fence?
I have a great girl, you know, and I look good. I lost 28 pounds in my divorce because, well, that's what a soul weighs. But I got a great girl now. She's 29, and I'm... not, which is, but, you know, it's great. You know, we get along like anybody else. You know, her and I, like, we fight like everybody else. When I'm buckling her in a car seat, she gets all mad. And, you know, and then I give her a timeout. So it's okay. We're working it out. We're working it out. But she's, and the world's changing. I think we're actually, you know, with Obama being elected, don't you guys think we're on our way back to something good?
Uh-huh. I think so. A lot of people hope so.
You think so?
Yeah.
People keep saying, though, they have a problem that we've never had a black president before. And I say, people, don't forget that he's half white. That's the part that scares me. I mean, Lehman Stearns, AIG, you know, Ford, Chrysler, GM, those are white guys that did that. White guys, not black guys. Yeah, I want a blacker president. I want a blue-black president. I want a president so black that during his inaugural speech, he pops and clicks. That's how black of a president I want.
Yes.
Times ahead.
By the way, this is a gorgeous place. I know you have. I've probably seen a couple of casinos.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. When I was five, camping with my father. That's what he called it. Camping in the parking lot of Harris Tahoe.
Awesome.
Oh, your dad's. And by the way, he did such a good job raising you. And if anybody wants to know about that, I heard that all three seasons of Titus are now available on DVD. True.
All three seasons, and Bring the Pain. The weird thing about that show is, I'm so glad I did it, you know, and I'm doing some other stuff now, but people come up to me, and the weirdest thing about doing that show is that now, like, the even college kids, like, they're becoming like these cult things, but people come up to me and tell me the worst stories about their lives, but they tell it to me like they're trying to do stand-up. So people, like, no, they'll come up to me and go, dude, I love your show. Hey, you know, my grandma was addicted to crack for a while, right? And she killed some animals. I mean, and they're trying to, then you can use that. Oh, thanks. Uncracked animals killing things.
You're like a coping mechanism for these people.
It is. It's almost like a. And then I had a lady on this new show. I had a lady. I was in San Jose a couple weeks ago, and I have this lady. So I'm warning you about the show. Love is Evil is probably the best thing I've ever written. This lady's walking past me out of the club, and I'm signing something, and she just walks past me. She goes, hey, I made a decision tonight. I know what I'm going to do now. Thank you. And walks out. And all I thought was, great. And then I thought, oh, God, I hope she doesn't kill somebody. I don't want to be in the note.
And I'd like to thank Christopher Titus for the inspiration.
Exactly. I finally saw the light. Christopher Titus, sorry about all these people.
Now, the phrase, love is evil.
E-V-O-L.
E-V-O-L?
Oh, yes, yeah. Let's love backwards, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Brilliant.
It's interesting. Evol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's actually, see, I went to California public schools, so to me it's evil.
You've struggled with that over the years because of your family, but you love your family. You can see that you love your family.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. This is therapy now. What just happened? Okay. Yes, I love my family, but my ex-wife, not so much.
Okay. That's
healthy. The weird thing is that, you know, I knew things are going. You see, in relationships, we all know things are going bad, right? Yeah. We all know. Like, she got a 2 years before I got divorced, she got a boob job. And gentlemen, if you're with a woman over 5 years and she decides she wants a boob job, she ain't getting it for you. All right. She's actually just putting fresh meat on a new hook. That's all it is.
Oh.
And ladies, if you're gonna get a boob job, I think guys. Don't you think that, like, women think that all we want is the bigger boobs, the better, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys think that's the case? I just think we just want something that looks good on you. If you're going to get it done, get something that looks good. Don't go crazy. My ex went insane. She got boobs 4 sizes bigger than she should have if she was 5 feet taller than she already is. 5'2" got boobs for Kobe Bryant. They're too big. They had to modify her skeleton to hold them up.
Don't you pay
a woman should stand up and cause wind shear.
Don't you pay about the same for any size?
Exactly. Just get something good.
Christopher Titus, Christopher Catchulate.
Specialist hand to all my soldiers over there in Iraq.
Everybody right here. What you need to do is be thankful for the life you got, you know what I'm saying? Stop looking at what you ain't got. Start being thankful for what you do got. Let's get it to him, baby girl. Hey.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I think that Natasha Leggero was making fun of this girl last night. She does this whole thing on stage about how... When did music become, you know, some guy talking over a song? And she makes fun of how women sing on American Idol. Did you see? You heard that clip on Tonight Show where they all go,
how many notes can I get into this word?
Oh, I don't know. That's Rihanna, though. It's a big song. Live Your Life by T.I. Number one on the pop charts right now. 25. How old are your kids, Linda? And what do they listen to?
My daughter loves that song. She's 13.
Ooh, 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah. let's just stop right there. My son's 8.
Has your 13-year-old already left the planet, or is she prepared for launch?
She's amazing. She's got a nice boyfriend. Yeah,
she's ready to
She's got a boyfriend at 13?
That's kind of her third, but we won't talk about that on the
radio. Third boyfriend at 13? Wow. What kind of fortified milk are you feeding?
Stop it.
They don't listen to the show, I hope.
You know, a lot of kids don't listen to radio. Radio in general. So probably safe that they're not listening.
It's one of radio's problems is, what is it, under 35, the numbers drop off pretty badly?
Oh, yeah, and especially under 30.
Under 30. And you know why? Because their social networking isn't really, it isn't like, I like this show, they're part of my life, mm-hmm. you know, feel like I know them. What it is I like this blog, I like this MySpace. Or I have a network of my friends mm-hmm. that I'm essentially tracking electronically.
Yep, they're texting all the time. It's like they have their own little radio program. They don't need the show.
I watched a friend of Ryan's little sister. Not Ryan's buddy, who's about the same age, you know, pushing the top ends of the teenagers. I watched her little sister at a Thanksgiving dinner texting a friend, and she just kept going. I'm like, how much can you have to say to that person? So I don't mean to intrude. She's like, well, actually, there's a couple, seven of us. They're texting seven different people at the same time, having seven different text conversations at once. Her thumbs are like a blur. Smoke's coming off her wrists. She's QWERTY keyboarding this flip phone so fast.
John Medina, the brain scientist, says that what we are doing with text messaging is we are substituting communication that is less for communication that is deeper and more meaningful. In other words, imagine Morse code. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine falling in love to someone by a Morse code. There'd be no pheromones. There'd be no, you know, can you just... Oh, wow. He just did-eated me.
She wants to do what? Not while my parents are home. My father's clearing the back 80 acres, and I've only got 4 days to finish this.
And the weird thing about words, I don't know if you've ever known this, but printed words are different than spoken words. And it's because a printed word doesn't carry all of the other parts of the communication that speaking carries. Like when I speak to you, I can speak to you. I can speak to you. Mm-hmm. I can speak to you. I can all three of those things added additional information about what I was doing. When I could speak to you, it's like, well, it sounds like he could speak to me, but he doesn't really have much time, and I'm not that important.
Well,
I can go,
Venom, yeah.
I need to speak to you. That sounds like I might be fired, because that was really, there was no information there. It had a sense of urgency.
Well, if you were going to be fired, they would email you. They wouldn't speak to you.
That's right. Yeah. Or that's, I need to speak to you. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Yeah. And have you ever reacted to a phrase that carried so much information in it beyond what was actually said with that? Of course you have. Now, with text, the information is literally like Morse code. It's extremely limited. And the worry about our children is that they're getting to be in their teens now, and they haven't learned the social skills of actual communication.
And you see a lot of their texting showing up in formal writing. Like when they try to turn in
an
essay.
Oh, no, in a term paper report?
Yeah, I had to... Well, of course, I'm a writer, so I look through my daughter's
work. Oh, so you must hate this, then.
She hates that I'm a writer, because she'll have, like, abbreviations in there.
In the L8, 14th CNTRY.
Exactly.
LOL.
Exactly.
R-O-T-F.
And you're like, no, you can't do this. You can't. And they really don't understand why that isn't acceptable.
And I think when you're talking about putting emotion into text, that's what the emoticon is for, and that's what the LOL is for. So mm-hmm. when they write something, they can tell you, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm...
Right. Things were invented to substitute for feelings.
Yeah, inflection of the voice. You have to emoticon.
And you know why they were invented? Because describing how I feel would take a long time. That's why they have people called authors that do it, that write books, that live in shacks up on a Lopez Island and sit there in the winter and spend 9 months telling a story. Because it takes longer to tell a story in a more limited communicative way, i.e. text, mm-hmm. takes longer than it does to just look at you and go, I need to speak to you.
My texting is very limited, but let me tell you, it's meaningful because it's a pain for me to sit there and do it.
You'll only do it if it's important.
Every word has
longhand,
meaning.
Huh?
Yeah.
What do you? Give me an example of something you would text.
Get home now, or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't mince words. I wouldn't say, it's 7 o'clock, you were supposed to be home by now, because it would take me till 8 o'clock to write that. I'm not a,
yeah.
You know, I'm a man of few words when it comes to the text message.
Yeah,
We're losing.
I don't like the text message.
We're losing it. We're losing a skill.
Well,
a basic human skill.
I don't think it should be illegal to text message, except when you're in a moving car. Unless you're really clever about it. But I also I think that etiquette and social skills, they're not part of our education. They're not part of anything these days. You know, actual social skills, the ability to, you know, communicate richly, rich communication.
We're gonna, like, for example, what you're doing right now, that kind of thing, right?
There's no safe way for
us?
Me to answer that question.
She's mocking us, isn't she? I can tell because she spoke.
I'm just saying, I think kids do communicate, and I think they are very social, and it's just different from what we understand. I think
they're grunting. I honestly think they're grunting like cave kids.
No, what they do
we're
is
in,
any
we're
less.
In the Silicon Cave right now, and they're just grunting at each other.
You don't think it's a diminished sense of communication? I mean, you said they're not doing any less than we were.
I think it is a different sense of communication
than
what we have.
You don't think it's diminished, though?
You don't think it's diminished? I would be interested in that argument because the worry, that, and we had a discussion about this, the worry is that when they get to marriage, and it's one of the reasons, by the way, adulthood has been delayed now to the mid-20s. It used to be you're 18, you go get a job, you get a wife, you start spitting out kids and becoming a productive member of society. And now it's like, oh, it's hard. Mom and Dad got to help me out until I'm 25. And part of it is because I don't know how to... Why? This place where the electricity comes from, they're sending me a bill.
And it's turning different colors the longer I wait.
Yeah, this one's yellow.
Give our kids more credit than that.
I'm sorry. Well, maybe yours. And Tony have done a wonderful job.
You're a communicator, so you probably communicate with your kids better than most.
Yes, Eric.
Well, the issue here is that we're losing the art of communicating with nonverbal cues. And the other thing that's happening is that people are not present to wherever they are. Their attention is being spread out to some other place.
Seven texters at once, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. There was a case that John Medina, the brain guy, was talking about where he was watching his 9-year-old daughter have a slumber party, and all of the kids came over, and they were texting other people outside of the room. And he had never seen this before because usually 9-year-old girls are very adept at nonverbal cues and social interaction. These girls were bumping into each other, and they were getting mad over tiny little things that they should have worked out years ago. But text has stunted their growth.
Take it this way, too. Imagine, you know, way in the past, tribal peoples, you know, having their version of a barbecue, whatever it is, fire, animal roasting on a spit.
Everything was a barbecue.
Everything was a barbecue, that's right, because there was no indoors.
Here.
So, but imagine that, you know, each one of them would, like, occasionally walk away from the group to their own little pile and send smoke signals to people
other
elsewhere.
People.
And people say, put those smoke signals out. You're neglecting the party.
Not at the table, or if we had a table.
This is a no smoke.
Not in the circle.
This is a no smoke signal gathering of our tribe.
This is finally time.
You know, it would have happened.
We should say, if anybody has any input on this, you can text us at 243-00.
243-00 is our text number.
All right.
Oh, it's going to rock at the Obama inauguration. Aretha Franklin will sing, and the Reverend Rick Warren will pray, and more than 11,000 U.S. troops will be watching over inauguration ceremonies in case of attack. During President-elect Obama's swearing-in on January 20th, I think we should be good. 4 million visitors are expected to be on hand.
Wow.
When he takes the noontime oath. Now, I've never... there you go. You used to live in Baltimore.
I did, and I spent so much time in the Monument District, as it's called.
Did you ever go to an inauguration?
I never went to an inauguration. The only one I would have been able to go to would have been Reagan's second. I was only 17 in Reagan's first inauguration, so I probably wouldn't
have. You have to be 18 to go?
No, but if you're going to go down to D.C., you know, and I probably couldn't have got my parents to get off work. My parents were both blue-collar folks.
Yeah.
White-collar, officially, but they worked hard. They had both had full-time jobs. And I would have been 21 for Reagan's second term and 25 for George the First, King George the First. And I really wouldn't want to go to either of those inaugurations, to be honest with you. Reagan, it was a great man, a fine man, but you know, Bush, I think, won because he ran against Dukakis. And I think Krusty the Clown may have taken a close race against George the 41st. I haven't been to an inauguration.
I don't remember.
You haven't been to an inauguration.
That's a big answer.
That's all I asked, really.
Question.
Yeah.
I don't remember him ever being that big of a deal. I mean, I've never been, but it's like a horse goes through, you know, they ride a carriage or something. They go up there, they get sworn in. I don't remember it being millions of people.
I'm wondering about a sound system and whether this will be the biggest one ever. I don't know.
Oh, it will be.
Easily. You think it'll be the biggest inauguration in our history?
Easily. It'll be the biggest gathering, I think, in D.C. The Million Man March was, from all accounts, an inflated figure.
It says here 4 million, but then it says 4,000 local police, 4,000 police from around the country, and security agents from other government agencies, about 7,500 active duty military, about 4,000 National Guard, 12 plus 75, we're at 19.
Which, almost 20,000.
20,000 so far.
That's just security.
That's the police force, yeah.
And then 11,000 U.S. troops.
30-some thousand officially.
Yeah. So it's almost like we're occupying a small country at that point with the number of officials that will be there. And those are just the ones that they are telling us about in uniform. Mm-hmm. So planners are working under the assumption that a terrorist or rogue element might try to interrupt the event. I guess you should.
They say those who fail to prepare are preparing to fail.
A big chunk of active and guard units will perform ceremonial work. Now, with 4 million people, are we all going to hear anything? There's going to be PAs everywhere?
And there's going to be big screen TVs on the lawns and places.
I hear the portcullis, is that what they call it, where he stands to deliver the inauguration address, will actually extend out over to the crowd like a Stones concert.
Like Mick Jagger?
Yeah. And he'll do a smaller presentation.
He'll be on a crane.
Yeah. He'll do a more stripped-down presentation of his early speeches with just the core cabinet members. It'd be really great.
And they're putting together a classical music supergroup like the Beatles or the Stones. These guys, it's Yo-Yo Ma, and I'm not big on the classical music, but they're listed there. And these guys are the...
The only one you know is Yo-Yo Ma.
Yo-Yo Ma.
You've heard of Bach, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but no, I'm talking living people. I'm talking the cream de la cream, and they're going to perform.
Cream de la cream? I didn't know it was going to be that good. I may have to get a ticket now.
They're going
to
perform.
By the way, it's too bad we already named our album for this year, because next year the cream de la cream would be a great album title.
Our white on white album, yeah.
They're going to perform an original piece written by John Williams, the guy who gave you dun 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 and dun 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 dun. Jaws and Star Wars, for those who...
I thought that was Indiana Jones you were doing.
Those of you who understand melody and are challenged by that.
That guy?
But
he's going to write something for Obama?
Yeah, for Yo-Yo Ma and this, I think it's Itzhak Perlman and all these...
Came up with another classical musician, did you? Good job, with only 3 minutes of drag time.
I'm going off the top of my head here. But it's a big... I mean, these guys' instruments, they could sell their instruments and cure the deficit of this nation. Yo-Yo Ma's cello is worth millions.
Is it? Why?
Yeah. It's apparently these stringed instruments, you got to have a really old one.
Yeah.
And you need old wood.
Yeah, and the violins and the cellos that these guys play are literally worth, you know, millions of dollars.
Yo-Yo Ma. That is so beautiful. But then again, you know, music is to each ear a different thing.
Right.
I imagine you could play that at Guantanamo and some guy would go, I'll tell you whatever you want.
4 million people, they say that cell phones expect an absolute meltdown of cell phone coverage in the capital.
You won't be able to get through.
4 million people want to be, guess where I am? Can you see me? Listen to this. And holding up their phones, you know, they're expecting complete cellular meltdown during the inauguration.
The Obama inauguration coming up on January 20th. Home. I'm going to be home. Oh, I'm thinking of maybe having an inauguration party, though.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
That'd be kind of exciting because, you know, the women could get really dressed up as if they were going to the inaugural ball.
Yeah. Let's dress up like in Washingtonian times.
There you go. You will not.
I'll get a powdered wig.
It's a Tuesday, right? The 20th?
Is it?
Yeah, it is a Tuesday.
Okay.
Isn't it going to be a holiday?
I've seen so many bumper stickers with, you know, 12009. They've been counting that day down.
They have.
For the, you know, no matter who was going in, they're just more excited about leaving.
Update on an earlier story. It is true. Scarlett Johansson is auctioning off a used Kleenex. U.S. Magazine reports she's auctioning off the tissue that she blew her nose on The Tonight Show. This is really very tacky, but... at the time, she caught a cold, which she said was given to her by Samuel L. Jackson. Listen
to
this.
That adds something to that story.
Yes,
I like
it does.
That.
Listen.
One day I said, Sam, your eyes are a little watery. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling under the weather. But I said, well, you've been touching me and, you know, elbowing me all day. And now I've got your germs, your Sam Jackson germs. And now I have his cold. But I feel like I almost don't want to lose it because I feel like it's...
celebrity cold.
Yeah, it's like a celebrity cold. And I feel like it's valuable in some way because it's been... passed from...
Now, how do you mean valuable?
I don't know. I feel like I could sell it on eBay.
Really?
I do. I feel like if I coughed into a, you know, if I coughed into some kind of fabric
sneeze or cough.
Well, I'm telling you though, it's not a pleasant cough. But
go
I'm
ahead.
Gonna do it for charity.
Okay.
I am. Should I really give a blow though? I don't feel like I should.
How much do you want to help people in need? That's what it comes down to.
So you're saying the more snot I produce...
Exactly.
In this
picture,
no way.
Exactly.
This is Sam Jackson's cold, so bid high.
Do you need an extra one?
I'm fine with this one. Thank you. This is for USA Harvest, which is a wonderful organization.
Okay.
All right. Should I really just blow?
Go ahead.
Okay. And you got some lipstick and snot. There's definitely snot there.
Okay. Now seal it up.
They seal it, they put it in a bag.
What we got here? Perfect.
I love that magical
perfect.
Sound as
here we
well.
Here we go, here we go.
I wish it sounded like that every
put
time.
Put it right in here. I'll tell you what. You sign it.
All right.
It'll be on eBay tonight at about, 12:30, 1 o'clock?
All right.
It'll be on eBay.
I'll
sign it right there.
Now, how much do you think I'm going to get for this?
More than $10.
All right.
And Linda Thomas has checked. It is, in fact, on eBay,
it
and
is.
The bidding is at...
It's at $2,075. With 62 bids.
How much time left?
4 days, 12 hours. Free shipping on that, by the way.
Yeah, it's hard to inflate the shipping charge on a baggie full of a Kleenex.
It's not.
Wow. Now that I've heard it, I think it's cool, but eBay should pull it based on their DNA policy, based on their body parts.
What's their policy?
You can't sell body parts on
eBay. This is Scarlett Johansson's DNA.
And
I'm forgetting
Sam
about
Jackson.
The cold. I could care less about Sam Jackson.
I could care less about her.
You want Sam. Yeah.
I'd like a little bit of...
You're going to have to wade through Scarlett's DNA to get him.
Okay.
Would you... And by the way, that's a weird thing about our celebrity culture. Do you think she has a point? Do you think someone would have like a party and say we're all going to catch Sam Jackson's cold tonight? Like one of those ear candling or one of those passion parties that it would be the newest thing that celebrities would make you sick?
I think
purpose?
You know, if somebody actually got that, yeah, I could see people wanting to rub that all over themselves.
disgusting, but
like a Paris Hilton virus or something.
Yeah. I mean, guys have always been known to be a little bit tacky with regards to garments that have not been washed. I mean, that's kind of an old... it's a pheromones, I believe. I believe there's an actual logical scientific explanation for it, and it's not particularly necessarily...
decent.
It's not necessarily as gross as it sounds. But this is the intention of passing a virus from one person to... It's essentially text messaging a virus. It's like, I've got this virus, LOL, it's going on eBay, who wants my virus? And then you have it, and you can give it to friends. And then when they get sick, you know, they could do their own baggies and with a certificate of authenticity that they were at the party, that this one came from Scarlett Johansson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And keep this going.
People just want a piece of a celebrity, whether it's snot or a tie.
And that's not the only interesting celebrity piece on eBay right now. This is the time of year for some, and there's a couple good ones there. I would be actually interested in either one of these items.
You would? Snoop Dogg is auctioning off his shed. When you say shed, you don't mean like your tummy. You call that your shed sometimes.
No, this is an actual shed that sits in the back of his house.
It's like one of those things you would get at Home Depot and throw crap in?
Yep.
Yeah, storage shed there.
But what he's done with that was his man room, I guess. That's where he would go to get away. That's where he would watch his football games, and he says he's even recorded a few hits in that shed.
So he used... what kind of a shed? How big is it?
It's not that big. I mean, it's maybe it's not the size like one of a bedroom.
Like, okay, it's not like one of them garden sheds that's really small, then. It's a real...
It's portable. I mean, you could load it on the back of a flatbed and bring it to your house.
Kind the average person would store tools in. For him, he used it as a rec room, and it's on eBay. How much is it?
It was, last time I looked, it was only a couple thousand. Now, that was yesterday. I'd have to look it up again.
Search Snoop Dogg Shed.
Okay. All right. What do you think draws more, Snoop's party room, man room, his shed, or Scarlett Johansson's
slot? Any fluids from a woman are going to outdo anything from a man. I'm sorry.
No, you're right on. I think you're right on the money,
pal. It's a sad...
You know what? His shed is actually going for a little more than that. Right now it's at $3,500.
With how many days to go?
We've got 4 days left on that one. 27 bids.
Ultimately, Scarlett Johansson's going to... My money's on her. Yeah. This is... You know what this is called?
What?
Credit default swap. It's a derivative. If we bet on which one of these does more and we put actual money on it, that's what brought down the stock market. Because we're not actually bidding on the items. We're betting on how they're going to do. Yes, Eric.
Oh, I need to point out that cold viruses do not live very long on Kleenexes, for example. Usually anywhere from a few seconds to no longer than 48 hours. So if you were to buy the Kleenex that Scarlett is
offering... You're really just getting Scarlett snot. You're not really getting the cold.
Exactly.
And some of Sam Jackson.
That's the problem here. That's why it devalues the tissue. If I'm a geek cloner at home, I can't clone Scarlett Johansson anymore. I got a Scarlett Johansson Samuel L. Jackson mutt.
No. His DNA isn't in his cold. Cold is a virus. DNA is DNA, dude. You don't have, unless Sam Jackson and her did things that she didn't tell you about.
He was all over, she said.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure not upper nose, and I don't even want to elaborate on that. Yes.
Yeah, that's very true. The virus, it will be long dead. But in the case of Scarlett Johansson, her mucus is definitely DNA, and even if the virus is dead, you could do stuff with it.
And if you got the chance to meet Scarlett to go pick up the scarf, it would be worth a lot. I don't think that's part of the deal, but I guarantee you pull over to Snoop Dogg's place to grab the shed. He's going to be out there to greet you. Yeah.
All right, here's another thing that's being auctioned off.
And this will get more. If I'm going to bet, I'll bet on this one to get more than either one of those two.
Bob Dylan is putting some tape up for bid. A master tape of unreleased recordings from Bob Dylan's Nashville Skyline album up for auction at eBay through December 23rd. It's an 8-track. When was this done? 1969. 8-track, 1-inch reel. I used to have a 1-inch 8-track machine.
I remember that.
Remember we used to do Twisted Tunes on it?
Absolutely. Got me searched a couple times.
That's what we did on our... What do you mean?
I would go to the border. We were working with a guy in Canada, and it would have to... Before there was the internet, and you could just do things digitally. I remember, and Big Dave, the intern, had to do it too. You would drive this 1-inch reel of recording tape.
They would go, what's that?
First, you'd say, how long are you going to be in Canada? About 5 minutes. I'm going to go over to that duty-free over there and drop off something to a guy. You want to pull over?
Yeah.
Boy, that's worth a few hours of searching.
So this 1-inch tape has, and with this 1-inch tape, by the way, you can listen to individual tracks, because it's the album before it was mixed, contains an unreleased song called Going Back to Chicago, never put out.
Wow.
As well as the album Nashville Skyline. The tape is one of more than 2,000 purchased for $50 at a Nashville warehouse sale in 1990.
Yeah, this isn't Dylan putting this out.
No,
it's the guy who owns the tape, but it's not, you know.
What you get is ownership of the tape, but no rights to the content. And with no rights to the content, and by the way, I've read a lot about copyright law, and it's not as black and white, and it's kind of confusing. You can listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a tape of something, mixed tape, mm-hmm. or you make a tape of stuff that you purchased, you can listen to it, but you cannot distribute it to anybody.
Right. You can't release that unreleased single. You can't
cannot make a deal
album.
With a, radio show or right. a TV show. And
but you could resell it for even
you could
more
sell
you
the
to.
Physical tape.
Yeah.
And you've got a song that Bob Dylan wrote, and you're the only guy who owns that song. I think that's worth more than Scarlet Snod.
By the way, if Dylan is not the high bidder, what kind of a whack world is this? I mean, Dylan, get your tape. And Dylan is sitting home on if someone wants it more than Dylan, an unreleased song, wouldn't that surprise you?
If it was anybody but Dylan, it might. I don't think Bob Dylan really puts too much value in the past. I mean, this is a guy who's like, yeah, it's what I did. To him, it's just what he did, I think.
He's quirky.
Yeah, and prolific.
I think if you had a rock museum of some sort or something like that, it might be worth a lot to you.
All right. Well, when does this one end? Do we know what the bidding?
23rd, you said, December.
The 23rd. And so when we come back from vacation, we want to have a little bet?
Well, I bet you're right about Scarlet. I don't even think we're going to see that auction close. I think the publicity...
Scarlet will be yanked.
Is there a buy it now? Oh, this was a buy it now price for Scarlet's Nut. I don't think that one makes the whole run of the auction.
Can you imagine the party? Can you imagine someone going,
oh, yes, don't touch a Petri dish. Don't touch the inside dish.
I think the Dylan tape gets the most. And if all three close, I think you're right. Snoop Dogg's shed.
In third.
Yeah, unless you never know what he might leave laying around that shed.
All right.
Well, the current bid on the Dylan tape is way above the other two already.
The Dylan tape's going to go for twice the other two combined.
When all those auctions are over, we'll read you the details.